MTL.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. Protests and hunger strikes broke out across Montreal on July 24th in light of recent reports of famine in Gaza. On July 22nd, over 100 international human rights organizations issued statements warning of mass starvation in Gaza. Among the groups were Save the Children, Oxfam, Amnesty International, and the United Nations Human Rights Office. These groups are urging Israel to end its blockade of international aid and commit to ceasefire terms that include aid for people in the Strip. The World Health Organization says it has not been able to deliver any food to the region for 80 days. Activists around the world, connected through the Palestinian Youth Movement, called on people to commit to a day of fasting to raise awareness and bring attention to the crisis on July 24th. CJLO was not able to confirm how many Montrealers committed to the fast on July 24th, but did receive a list of at least 16 individuals who had publicly committed to fasting here in the city. Here is Montreal-based activist Angel Hanou reading a statement about the act.
I am only one among thousands of people who are fasting for Gaza tomorrow. Food and water is denied to human beings because of Israel's siege. The man-made famine has already reached catastrophic levels, and 85% of Palestinians have reached the fifth and final stage of starvation.
Protests also took place on July 24th in front of the Israeli consulate and in the Mont Royal Metro. More events and protests are expected to continue throughout the weekend in light of starvation in the Gaza Strip. For CJLO News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Swelling up like the ocean, and I feel.
It's the sound of the Fantasia International Film Festival, back for another year on the downtown campus of Concordia University from July 16th to August 3rd. North America's premier genre film festival is your place to see the most eye-poppingly, face-meltingly extraordinary films from around the world. For more information on movies, tickets, and showtimes, check out FantasiaFestival.com. And be sure to listen to CJLO and check out CJLO.com for your chance to win tickets. This is all brought to you by CJLO 1690 AM and the fine folks at
Fantasia.
Tune in to Eastern Promises every Sunday at 8 p.m. with me, Donald Robert, as I take you through the latest and greatest music from Atlantic Canada, featuring everything from traditional fiddle music to hip-hop, jazz, metal, as well as Acadian and Indigenous sounds. Eastern Promises will take you on a journey from westernmost New Brunswick to the furthest edges of Newfoundland. I'll be bringing you music news, tour dates, and some down-home comfort for all you Montreal expats. Join me as I curate a playlist that showcases the extraordinary talent coming out of Canada's right coast since time immemorial. That's Eastern Promises, every Sunday at 8 p.m. here on CJLO 1690.
CJLO 1690 AM. Beard love forever.
Beards, 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 beards.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. Today we have a very special with Amir, Judy, and Mimi here as well.
Hi everyone. So welcome, as Judy said, welcome to the Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm Maryam, and I'm also the co-host of this show. So today it's been a hectic day for me a little bit for the last few minutes, but we're here and we're happy to be back. How are you, Judy? How are you feeling?
I'm good. It had been hectic. That's why I'm finding it hard to develop a sentence right now, and because of the heat, it's like okay, but I'll be in a good mood in a bit when we start talking about our topic.
Oh,
and the things that we have.
We have a very, very, very special guest today. And we will introduce her a little bit after the show. But today, especially right now, we want to talk about and commemorate Ziad Rahbani. Ziad Rahbani is the son of Fairuz, who has recently passed away. And he was actually young. I think he was in his end of his 60s. So he was a very, very famous and very famous Lebanese composer, a pianist, playwright, and a political commentator. And he was one of the most famous singers in the Arab world. And he really influenced the modern Arabic music as we know today. Mm-hmm. So he was very influential in the Arab world, and a lot of Lebanese people really adore him because mm-hmm. he was really close to his people, and he really cared about the hardships Lebanese people and Arab people face in the region. So we wanna we want to commemorate him. And I've added two songs on the playlist. I don't know. Yeah, no worries. We can put them.
Do you want his song or
he basically wrote these songs? He composed
Feruz's song because he actually sings as well.
He sings as well. Okay.
So
do you want to put, because we have those in the playlist? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to add more or
we can play Feruz.
Okay. So
and then we can play this afterwards.
Yeah. Sure. We can play first. Kifak Enta by Feruz. I believe he composed it. Or
Do you know? I saw an interview recently about this, and she basically mentioned, like, he mentions that this song was written, like, his mom. It's basically when he traveled and he left the country.
Yeah.
His mom wrote this song to him. She's like, "Kifak inta manna inta."
Oh.
It's not about a lover. It's actually about her son.
Wow.
Which is very interesting because people see it as a way of like lover relationship.
Yeah.
But it's actually to her son.
Okay. But so Feruz wrote this song?
I'm not sure, okay. But like he I remember, like, because I saw him talking about it, and he talking about it and saying that, like, it's for him, like she wrote this song for him.
Okay. Wow.
Because he traveled.
Wow. Okay like, that's very interesting. I didn't know that.
It's towards him, but I'm not sure if she wrote it, but it might be like she sang it towards him, you know, like, I'm
okay,
not really
interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, no we should play it and we should re-listen to this. I love this song by Feruz. And yeah, enjoy Kifak Inta by Feruz. We'll be back on CJLO 1690 AM.
شفتك سنتا تذكر وقتها آخر كلمة قلتها وما عدت شفتها وهلأ شفتها كيفك انت ملا انت تذكر آخر سهرة سهرتها عنا كان في وحدة مضايق منك هيدي أمي بتعتل همي منك أنت ملا أنت كيفك قال عم بيقولوا صار عندك ولاد أنا والله
It's the sound of the Fantasia International Film Festival, back for another year on the downtown campus of Concordia University from July 16th to August 3rd. North America's premier genre film festival is your place to see the most eye-poppingly, face-meltingly extraordinary films from around the world. For more information on movies, tickets, and showtimes, check out FantasiaFestival.com. And be sure to listen to CJLO and check out CJLO.com for your chance to win tickets. This is all brought to you by CJLO 1690 AM and the fine folks at
Fantasia.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema?
Well, then tune in to At the Movies every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 a.m. with your hosts,
Remy
and Danny.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Welcome back to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 a.m. I'm your host, Judy, and I have Miriam with me, and we have a very special guest that very close to our hearts.
Yes.
We have Yusra. Yusra with us.
Yes.
And she.
Hello, Yusra.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How good. How are you feeling?
A bit stressed, but
Yes, like this.
Oh, okay. A bit stressed, but excited.
Okay, cool. I'm happy for you to be here. This is your first time, so this is really, really exciting for you, I'm sure.
I am really excited. Yeah.
Nerve-wracking and exciting at the same time.
Like, you know?
Okay. Even me, like even us, yeah, I think like by the time we got used to it, but like at the beginning, it was really hard.
Yeah, so, it was a bit nerve-wracking at the beginning, but I think we'll make you comfortable and you'll be able to ease up and say everything about fashion, right?
So
we'll try our best to put everything in 1 hour, but I'm sure you'll be back for something else also special related to fashion. So introduce yourself a little bit, who you are, what you do, any experiences you have so far that is related to the topic of today. You can start. Go ahead.
So hello. I am Yusur. And currently, I am a fashion design student at UQAM, which is a university here in Quebec, Montreal. And I'm going into my second year of fashion design. And yeah, woohoo!
halfway done.
almost halfway. Oh, one third of the way. And what's the last question?
I said about something, your experiences so far. What have you experienced? Anything that is related to fashion? Anything that you want to share that is related to fashion that you have experienced as a fashion student or as a fashion enthusiast?
Enthusiast. Okay, well, I'm currently doing an internship in a Canadian fashion brand based in Montreal, but like their stores are everywhere in Canada. It's called Laura. And I'm currently an intern in fit and spec,
what does that mean?
It's mostly the technical side of a garment. So they say in Laura that would be the pattern maker and also the person who sees how the clothes fits on a person and if it's will look good on them or not.
Okay, interesting. That's interesting. So you're a fashion student at UQAM.
Yes.
And you have done multiple internships before, including the one that you're doing this summer.
Yes.
And they're all related to fashion, right? Like you can say that's very specific to fashion.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Why did you choose fashion? What brought you to love fashion and to do it as something that you're passionate
about? I can add on that. Why is fashion your passion?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what I did there?
That was way smoother than mine.
So, why do you love fashion and why is fashion your passion?
Well, well, When I think about it, I used to, when I was a kid, I really liked looking at clothes and I liked choosing my clothes when I went shopping with my mom and dad. And I remember in primary school, I used to play those games where you would style like a drawing with different clothes that's available. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I remember I used to do that in my free time when I was a kid, even in school. And yeah, like from there, I played all the games. And when I played all the games that's available like on the App Store or like online, like literally all of them at that time. And then so I was like, okay, I don't want to redo these. So when we were walking in a store, I saw like this book that had, Miriam knows, she also used to draw on them. Mm-hmm. It's like, be like a figure, like a fashion mm-hmm. figure. So it's like a body. And then you would draw on the body.
On top of it. So yes. You can like draw the design, right?
Yeah.
Did it has like the plastic thing or no? Because I remember I had something like that, but it had like a plastic and you just draw on top of the plastic, you know, like to make the design.
No, that one didn't have.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, I think ours were like most like a coloring book kind okay. of. But you would create also your own like styles, right?
Yeah.
Like you would draw a t-shirt or a dress or...
Yeah, it's really made for mm-hmm. like kids and teenagers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And like from there, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, because we also, Miriam and I, we lived in France for a bit. And fashion is like a big part of their culture. So I would really watch a lot of like documentaries on TV or what's happening on the news. And I guess being in that like environment, even though like my parents weren't really into fashion, so it was still accessible through media for me. So I think that's also in a way like, oh, okay, I would like to be part of that world. Mm-hmm. Be part of
part of that competitive world.
Oh yeah, very competitive. Yeah, yeah. Very stressful. No, I mean, no, it's okay. It's a good type of stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that you love doing. That's why the stress become kind of enjoyable, you know.
Worth it.
Like make it worth it. Yeah, yeah. Worth it. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're like during the moment you're crying and like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And then later when you're done with the stress, mm-hmm. you're like realize like, oh, okay, no, it's okay.
Yeah. When you see like the outcome and like you know, like when we see the outcome, like we've seen your stuff and like you know the stuff that you did were like the clothing that you did were really nice. You know, like the designs, the white like graffette. I remember Mimi was wearing like the white graffette with her white chemise. And like sparkles and like mine like puffy and like dress like with colors and stuff and Jackie's also
I did it with my teammate like, so it was like we worked on it together
you use techniques like you did I remember you did something like I don't know what's it called but it's a very like technical thing to do like you have to like follow rules it's like the thing that like you put on a dress
circular thing what is it called?
What's it called?
Tutu.
You lost the
word. No, I know this word.
It's like the thing that you put like and then puffs up your dress.
I know this word. It's called... Wait.
It's okay.
We can come back to it.
I'll come back to it.
We can come back to it.
It starts with a C.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. In French, you maybe know it, I think.
No, even in French, I just lost the word. I swear, guys, I know fashion. It's just something I'm not good at words.
I'm sure you do. Yeah. No, we'll come back to it. We'll talk more about like the you know the technical expertise that you have and the beautiful stuff that you do. So, but I really want to talk about now. I want to talk about you as a person and how you relate that to your practice. So, like you are Arab, right? You're half Algerian, half Palestinian, and you were always interested in the culture, whether it's through music or food mm-hmm. or TV shows or things like that. Like you were really, you know, into it, right? Like mm-hmm. as when you were growing up and like even more now, I think, more recently. Yeah. And now since like you're in fashion and things like that, how do you relate your work to your culture? So what do you do to like really stick both? You know, stick both mm-hmm. of them together and mm-hmm. like connect both. Any thoughts on that?
Well, truthfully, at the beginning, I was more interested in like Western fashion, mm-hmm. and because it's something that's been around me more. Mm-hmm. But as I grew up, like recently, even like maybe the last 2 or 3 years, I kind of started to get more interested in like Middle Eastern, North African fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to, in the future, kind of combine like Western fashion and Arab fashion.
Okay.
And do something like that, yeah.
Mm. That's interesting. So you would say your style would be, like in the future at least, you're working on it, would be a mix of like Arab and like European, Western fashion?
Yeah. A lot of Arab designers already do that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like if I can do like maybe a twist.
Twist to it, yeah. Find something, find like a missing gap or something. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I'm sure you'll be able to do it.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. we're waiting for your fashion show in 2 years.
Oh, yes. I'm preparing for it mentally. Like, I'm thinking about the stuff I want to do already.
Do you think it's going to be linked to like your Arab culture?
I really, really want to do something like Palestinian traditional clothes, Algerian traditional clothes, and like maybe like Western silhouettes. Too, like a mix of that. I really want to do something like that.
Okay, that's interesting.
And the colors too, like you choose it related to like your countries as well, like Algerian and Palestinian cultures.
Yeah,
that'd be so sick. Mm-hmm. Like the mix.
Like for example, like Algerians, there's a lot of embellishments, and then later Palestinian, there's a lot of cross stitching, which is tatris.
Yeah.
So if I could like find a way to combine those two, and it's like I would really love to do that.
Yeah, so I have a question for you, a follow-up that the thought we had. How would you describe that style in a few words or in a sentence? So your mix of like both both Arab and Western fashion, can you describe that style in like maybe a sentence or in a few words?
Oh, I'd say Arab fashion is very extravagant. I'll say it's more on the maximalist side, and it's very a lot of embellishments, which is literally like jewelry and clothes.
Okay.
Very colorful. Even though it's subtle, let's say if they use black or brown, it's still very rich. And while Western,
so those are the differences.
Yeah, and it's very like what I'm saying is very general because there's so.
But my question is about like how would you describe your how would you describe your style in a few words or a few sentences?
Sorry.
That's okay. we're going there. We're going to that question. But so the question I was asking was if you could describe your style in a few words.
My style?
Yeah.
I would say my style would be, it's kind of like a mix of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I really like structural.
What do you mean by structural?
Like tailored suits, they say, or like tailored pants, tailored dresses, something that looks very clean when you look at it from far. But I also really like edgy clothes.
Okay, so like I feel like those are both extremes.
Yeah, okay. I really like those extremes. And maybe in a way like deconstruction, because they say, for example, like deconstructed clothes that you really find a lot in Japanese fashion, that I really like. So it's like structured, but edgy.
Okay, so a mix of both extremes can like maybe you can find like the perfect balance. No, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for that question. Thank you for that answer. And going back to what you were said previously, you were talking about the differences between Western fashion, like European / North American fashion, and Arab fashion. Would you like to continue on that or like re-answer that question?
So for the Arab side, the differences.
Yeah.
So I talked about like extravagant, maximalist, colorful. When you look at it, you're like, wow. It's like, wow, it's so like, so pretty.
So out there, yeah.
So out there. But I would say Western, and when I'm talking about Arab, it's like Arabic, it's very vast. Like the Middle East, North Africa. So I'm just talking in general because there's so much more to it. And then I would say Western fashion. Also, I'm going to talk very general because there's a lot there's a lot to say. So I would say it's more like kind of almost the opposite, like minimalist, more subtle, like the colors in the 21st century, for example, is very more on the beige side, more on the quite muted, very calm. That's like what's I guess trendy and what people want to wear, and obviously there's pops of colors, but they're just pops of colors.
Mm-hmm.
And and
do you think like Arab fashion also follow trends, or do you think it's just maybe only like maybe Canadian, North American, European fashion designers that follow trends more than like you know, Arab or Middle Eastern fashion designers, or both, or is there one that does more than the other?
For brands specifically, mm-hmm. I don't know about like everyday people, but for brands, I would say that the West follows trends more than the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Why do you think? Or just probably, no, I don't know.
Oh, just from observation.
Observation, okay.
And I think it could be due to traditions.
Okay.
And it's a very Western thing to kind of be follow trends.
Okay.
It's been like that for a long time. Well, for the Arab world, I feel like there is obviously trends, but it's much slower when it comes to fashion design.
Mm-hmm.
And so
do you think like maybe it, because like the Arab world is maybe like more anchored on traditions and like things like that, while the West likes to like evolve and well, we also like to evolve, but like, but if you know what I mean,
But like you know, I have a question, because like in a way, like Arabs, like I feel like older generation are more stuck to the culture and traditions than younger generations, and younger generations love the minimalist idea, but also like to add this traditional thing within it.
Yeah,
you know, like I've heard a lot of people who are like, oh, like I want a traditional wedding, but I also like, you know, like weddings, you know how like dresses, you know, they want this traditional clothing, but they also want to do this Western clothing.
Yeah,
so that blend is like a very people really like and enjoy. Yeah,
yeah, I think the younger generation of the Middle East and North Africa, they're much more experimental. So like what I'm thinking of when I say like fashion designers, I'm thinking of more like maybe more like middle age. So the ones that really have a name for themselves. But like the upcoming Arab designers, like Middle Eastern, North African, it's from what I see in like different pictures and different like from the news and everything, it's it is experimental.
They're trying different things and like adding multiple things with
them. They're like using their tradition and trying to like twist and turn it a bit, which is really cool.
So they can also like cater to maybe a wider audience, or like find like maybe you know, like allow maybe more people living outside of the Arab region to get interested in that. So
yeah, there's that too.
Yeah.
Remember when I showed you these jeans, the Palestinian jeans? I don't remember the company.
I think I remember.
They made like these gray jeans, like like Levi's, like the jeans. But they also added tatris in it, but in a very unique way, you know. Like they had like tatris and next to the pockets in the back.
Oh, okay. And, like, I think I've seen something like that. Yeah,
yeah. It's very interesting, you know. Like as you said, like they're testing it and they're seeing how far they can go, and they're seeing like how can they reach a broader audience.
Yeah, yeah. And trying to maybe become more artistic, more design. Even though obviously the ones are like middle aged. Like I'm talking about, like thinking of like Elisa, Zuhair Murad.
Oh yeah.
Those like very big names. They're still like their clothes are very creative. But not experimental.
Do they lean more into the Western? They lean more.
They lean a lot into the West. But it's still you can see the like Middle Eastern touch. The in Lebanese ways. Touch.
Yeah.
Oh like in the detail. So like for example, like the embellishments, the embroidery, it's very special to the Middle East.
Okay, that's interesting.
I've never noticed that, because when I see their design, like his designs, for me, like personally, I see it more as a Western, more than an Arab design. That's how I see it, because they don't, like for me, like I don't know, like it's hard for me to differentiate between both. I don't know if it's the same for, I don't know why though.
I think maybe it's the silhouette. The silhouette is very Western.
Okay.
But I think the yeah, like I said, the details, the draping, the I would say real a lot, like the it's very for events, and that's what I see a lot of Arab, like I say Arab, like Middle Eastern fashion designers that are, how do I say it, like
Like
they have, like, I can, when I look at their clothes and someone says, like, oh, this is from the Middle East, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see it. Oh.
Okay, so once they tell you that this fashion designer is, like, yeah, from the Middle East.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this makes sense.
That makes sense.
From the texture or, like, yeah, from the fabric that they use, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's very rich. Mm-hmm. It's very rich. Like, the fabric that they would use, the way that it would be sewn, it looks very... well done, well crafted.
Oh, okay. And speaking of fashion and fashion designers, do you have any, like, biggest fashion influencers that you would like to share with us in the Arab world or in the Western world? And you can just tell us about them and what they do and why you like them and why you are maybe inspired by them.
Okay, so there is maybe from the Western world.
Yeah,
I would say there is. I always think about, what's the name again? I forgot his name. So he was creative director of Dior, and he was very known for his work.
Okay.
And I found his clothes to be, like, beautiful, and he's really that era is really famous in Dior. And I would say also Alexander McQueen. Mm-hmm. Both are English. Mm-hmm. And I love their, just the way that they design.
How can you describe their style?
It's very edgy. Okay. Very, I would say, experimental.
Mm-hmm. And what colors do they use? Do you have, like, a specific range of colors? Or
it's kind of dark.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's dark, and there's pops of bright colors.
Okay.
But it's more dark. Yeah.
Okay mm-hmm. Interesting. And then do you want,
when you were saying the, because I searched when you didn't know the name, is it Jonathan Anderson?
Oh, that's the current,
that's the current,
yeah,
but
current,
not the
creative director.
The one before, right?
Yeah, his name is Jean I always read his name, but I don't know how to pronounce it. Jean Giuliano. Let me search for his name.
Anyways, while you were searching for his name,
the one that you
Jonathan
Anderson. Yes, Anderson. He's the current creative director of Dior, and he worked for Louis V, which is LVMH brand.
Okay,
LVMH is like kind of like really big company that has a lot of luxury brands, and so he used to be the creative director of Louis V, and he was he really brought Louis V back from the dead.
Oh,
so
really?
That's why they wanted him to, I guess, like,
to come to Dior and, like, Dior, bring it back.
Wow,
Dior is still big, but to, like, I guess maybe change it up a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you say he's also, like, maybe one of the fashion designers that you, like, look up to?
I would say I really like his designs, because what I like about him is that it's simple, but it's kind of, there's elements of quirkiness in his design that's, like, very Louis V.
Okay, well, give us an example. Do you have a...
Like, what I think of, there was, like, a top that looks like as if it's a pixel, pixelated top, and there's another, like, a shoe as if, like, the heel is like an egg, so as if, like, they stomped on a broken egg, kind of like something like that.
Oh, that's so interesting. Wow.
Yeah, so it's like simple because it's a shoe, but there's, like, elements of quirkiness, or like a top, but there's elements of quirkiness.
And he worked with that in Dior.
His first collection was for men, and that was just, like, a month ago, I think, something like that.
Okay, interesting. Wow. Yeah. Now, do you have any other, like, fashion designers or influencers in the Arab world, maybe, that we haven't mentioned?
In the Arab world? Yeah. I know many, but, like, I don't know their name, but, like...
You mentioned two, right?
Yeah. the very big ones, Ali Saab and Zuhair Mourad. Both of them are Lebanese, and their clothes are, they're out of this world. It's so beautiful.
Real, yeah.
Like I think so many people know them, like, even if they're not into fashion, they know them.
Yeah. I saw Beyonce.
They dress up like the major Western celebrities, not just only Middle Eastern and North African celebrities. Literally, they dress up everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're, like, international. They're like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Piece of art.
Piece of art.
Artist.
They're like that kind of like that. I know Elie Saab. He's like the pioneer kind of like of the Arab fashion world. Like everyone like really knows him and admires his work and things like that.
Yeah, I think he's either he's one of the members of Haute Couture or one of the guests of Haute Couture. You know, there's the main brands in Haute Couture. Then there's like the guests, so they come and go.
Okay.
So I think he's either one of the mains or one of the guests. So talented.
He's very talented. Yeah. Is there any maybe other fashion influencers that you know or no?
I just there's one guy also. He's Lebanese.
Okay.
George. His first name is George. His last name is Hobeika. I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce it. Yeah, his name.
Okay.
Okay, let me search.
Lebanese fashion designer.
Yeah, let me show you.
Is he also one of the known people as well?
Yeah, he also dresses up international.
Wow.
People internationally. Look, for example, his clothes, you can see.
I wish everyone can see that. Okay. Wow, yeah. Oh, look at this one, the black one here. Wow,
it's like a silver shining armor.
Oh, which one?
Dress.
Yeah, I can basically describe it to anyone who's hearing. It's basically like a black dress that really is like it really fits like a glove on your body, and it has like flowers on it, and like I think when the light is on this black dress it turns like silver, so it's like it plays with light, it reflects light. So wow, that is really cool. Yeah. No, that's really nice. Yeah. What's his name? George?
Hobeika.
Hobeika. Okay, cool. That's nice. So we can move on to maybe other questions that I have. Now we talked about the fashion influencers in the Arab world. We talked about your style, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure maybe, have you ever applied this style in your... Applied your style in projects and things like that? The style that you described to us, the mix of Arab and Western fashion. Have you already applied that anywhere, or have you talked about it or presented it or anything like that in Canada? So that you came or.
I kind of started in my latest semester, winter semester. To incorporate a little bit of Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of dipped myself, my toes in it. And that's all really.
Okay, so was it a presentation or?
It was a project I had to do. It's I showed it to you, I think.
Okay.
And it's illustrations, fashion illustrations. So I kind of a concept, and I drew...
What was the concept? Designed.
Oh, the concept is about more about post-capitalism.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Yes.
How is that represented in a design or a concept? How did you think of?
And how does it relate to Palestine?
Oh,
that's the question I'm asking.
Long story short, I believe one big reason of why Palestine is going through it and going through a genocide is because of post-capitalism.
Okay.
And
no, explain, because I'm curious.
It's very okay. Because I don't know where I didn't write this down. So
we derailed a little bit. Okay, so
anyway, so I incorporated Palestinian tradition clothes, and I would like to go more in depth into it afterwards. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll talk to you about it later. But I need to have my notes.
Okay, no worries. So I guess so. It's you're still in the beginning and things that. So you'll definitely work on that more.
I took notes. I wrote everything for my teacher and everything. Yeah. But right now, I just kind of...
Yeah, no, it's just interesting how you link those together. Yeah.
I think, I kind of understand, her point of, saying post-capitalism. Because usually, after that, people just wanted power and money.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, made it, the situation worse, like, you know, yeah. like they want to get okay, this, so like, you know.
Okay, the power of like
The military complex, of leaders, and then the I guess commerce and all of that. Mm-hmm.
It's all correlated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's so the reason as to why Palestinians are facing a struggle is because of post-capitalism or one of the
or
reasons?
Or just capitalism.
Capitalism in large. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that's one of the factors. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
That's my opinion from my observation.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Actually, think about that. I don't think I've ever thought about that link. So we also want to talk about like your maybe some challenges that you faced as a fashion student and a fashion confectioner and a slash designer during your studies and during your experiences. Any obstacles? I'm sure there's like a lot of obstacles out there that you face, which is normal. I believe like you're learning and you're growing as a fashion designer, so there has to be like obstacles and challenges that you face to grow as a person. That's like that's what happens when you grow, you face obstacles. So when you as a student or as a employee or a fashion employee, do you want to share any obstacles or challenges you faced, and how did you overcome those challenges as a student or a fashion designer?
Well, I would say understanding clothing and how it's made.
Mm-hmm.
And like the technical side and sewing, because I've learned sewing recently, really. It's just, I think 3 years ago I touched a sewing machine. So I would say creating a garment, something that's physical. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be really hard because you have an idea in your head and it could be extremely extravagant and unrealistic. But when you make it in person, physically, you have to obey the laws of physics, and you have to make it wearable, and you have to understand the fabric, you have to understand the
calculations,
the where to put the buttons, where to put the zippers, where to where to sew.
So it's not easy as it seems.
Oh no, it's really hard. I always say that creating clothing is like it's like mini architecture, like like fashion design is the smaller version of architectural design.
Like, so it's like instead of building like infrastructure, you build clothes.
Yeah, for a human body.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't fit, doesn't fit.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. And it has to look good, which is really hard.
Yeah, it has to look good to the eye and like be comfortable also, and
No, everything has to come
together.
Yeah, come together.
Yeah. And how did you like overcome that challenge of trying to face that difficulty of, you know, fitting clothes correctly and like sewing properly and really like following like technical aspects and things like that? How did you try to overcome that?
I'll say more like trial and error, and from experience, I'm still going through it. I'm still learning a lot. Just really trial and error, because it's very manual. Mm-hmm. And that's only the way you can learn.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a learning process. Yeah. Like, I'm sure like it will take time for, like, I don't think it will ever be like, it will be easier, but there still be challenges like to come and to overcome.
Yeah, because definitely
you're gonna play with details, you're gonna like think of something new, and this something new will create something like new that you wanna alter or change or like do it.
Yeah, and that's what I like about fashion and creating. There's always a challenge. You'll never be bored.
Mm-hmm. You always learn something new. Yeah. There's always new trends. There's always new like upcoming artists and things like that to follow. So
you're always gonna stimulate your mind.
Yeah,
and definitely. It's like you can go above and beyond. You can do whatever you're.
Be very creative. Mm-hmm. No, right. That's very true.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mix of so many different like fields. Like arts, science, geometry, they're just like a mix of different fields, business.
That's true. So as we were talking about the challenges, we kind of want to go to the other side of the spectrum and talk about success. So I'm sure you have been successful in many ways, right? So if you could maybe share with us maybe your biggest success so far. I know you're still in the beginning of the journey and like there's a lot to go and there's a lot to accomplish. But so far, what has been your biggest success? And, you know, what is success? But like, but just like if you could, according to your definition of success, what would be your success in your field or in your work?
Like the first thing that came to mind was learning how to sew yeah. and feeling comfortable using a sewing machine. Easy. For me, that's like a big success for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Also, the internship, which is another big success. I was really happy when I learned that I got the internship. And because it's hard, like the fashion industry is like hard to get an internship, mm-hmm. and I'm like feel really privileged that I got one. And yeah, those are the two things that came to mind.
Mm, and those are very mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, very like those are like I would say those are like achievements maybe.
Oh
yeah, but they could be success too. they are success, but like you can also call them achievements, right? Mm-hmm. Achievements yeah. are part of your success. So yeah.
No, you're like. Like even if they're small things, they're still like big things, you know.
Right,
like as
right.
you said, like you know, they're, you know, it's very hard to go into the fashion industry and yeah. like just get an internship, as you said. So mm-hmm. having this step, it's like a step forward mm-hmm. into your fashion designer yeah. life, you know.
Yeah, yeah. In my head, it's like baby steps.
No, definitely. It is. Well, yeah. I think that's mm-hmm. the way. That's mm-hmm. I think that's one of the only ways to do it. Right, you cannot just mm-hmm. like. Be successful and be huge.
Yeah, like, it's
in a week, or it has to be work.
It's a journey.
Years of work and things like that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay, so we're almost at the end of the show, mm-hmm. but I have one last question for you. Mm-hmm. And this one is a bit more like you seeing yourself in the future and things like that. So my question is, what are you hoping to achieve in the next 10 years? As a fashion designer or as a Arab creative or mm-hmm. yeah.
In the next 10 years I would like to graduate and then after that kind of go into the workforce and gain experience, and maybe like in 10 years from now, from the experience, I would like to open my own brand.
Mm-hmm.
I would really love to, and I really like my brand. I really want to create something like a mix of Palestinian, Algerian, Western, and the styles that I like, if I still like it in 10 years. like edgy deconstruction, but it's tailored and mm-hmm. it looks clean.
Interesting. Yeah. Hopefully we wish you the best, and we really want you to reach that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We want to see the designs. Yeah, yeah. And
front
side
of the runway.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
I do not need a ticket.
No,
I will be there without
a
ticket.
Free.
I will be in the first
VIPs.
Front row seat. Yeah,
exactly. Definitely.
Very, very, very important people. VIP.
extra VIP.
Extra.
All right. Thank you so much, Yusor, for having, for being in the show, and also I'm very happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for
and,
having me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming here. And like as Mimi said, like thank you for like bringing all of this like knowledge to like to us. And like there are so many things that I didn't know, like such as like the. Mm-hmm. The Louis V, like you know, I didn't know that. Yeah, Louis V. I didn't know that this guy like actually brought it back to life, because I didn't know it died.
It kind of was not. It was not trendy. No one really knew about it. And then he brought it back to life.
Yeah, because I've been seeing for the past years. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing the brand everywhere, mm-hmm. even though before I didn't see it.
Which
was like
even me.
Like, yeah, no one knew
the last
about
few
it.
Years. Like maybe the last 10 years. Before that, what's Louis V? Sorry for anyone who was working there before. But
yeah, literally. Yeah, but thank you so much for your insight, and like thank you for coming here and like Yeah,
and I think, and we hope to have you also soon. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can share other secrets and fashion tips and fashion trends
to
all
of us.
I'll do
my research.
Researcher, fashion researcher, yeah. We should call you.
Yes. I'll be the fashion expert
of this radio show. Yes. Amazing. We love that.
For you.
Thank you all for joining us on The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. I was your host, Miriam.
And Judy.
And yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yay. So we'll see you next week, Monday, same time.
6 to 7 p.m.
Yes.
We're going to play an ad, and then we're going to play a song by Ziad Rahbani also to as a memoir. And like it's called Wala Bala Wala Shi. So we hope you guys enjoy. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
CJLO 1690 AM presents Hip Hop for Life, a showcase live event at Lescogriff on July 22nd, featuring three of Montreal's most exciting independent hip hop artists. 110%.
I'm cracking eggs at the crack of dawn. I put on my
Fraud Perry.
Yes, I'm start that funny. Give me that cat, that green, that green, that green.
And Quentin Barnes.
I'm gonna give you these words for the fan. Feeling it.